All right, go ahead and take out your Bibles. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. We continue on in our study of looking at music. And specifically, we're right now in talking about specifically pop or pop music, rock music, however you please. You're turning to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And just as you're turning there, I want to mention some things that we've already gone over. Of course, we started in talking about the heart of the matter, looking, of course, at when Moses comes down from the mount, the people are in sin. The Bible says, Joshua says, he hears something. He says there's a noise in the camp. That word noise there, carrying a negative connotation. The idea is something that's horrible or that is not pleasing. It's not a sound that could be distinguished as something that was a shout for victory. And it wasn't something that could be distinguished as a shout for help, but it was something entirely different. And Joshua heard it, and as they get closer, of course, they hear what's going on. Moses gets in the middle of it and says, all right, whoa, 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 what's going on? And begins to take action in regards to that. We've already looked at that, but that's the looking at the heart of the matter. These things were all happening because there were some heart issues in the lives of the children of Israel. And as they get to this point of rebelling and then begin to watch how that plays out, we see that the music can be linked back to that which what they came out of there in Egypt. And we've looked at that before, but that's the heart of the matter. Since then, we've gone into our second part, which is where did it come from? Where did the noise come from? We talked about the links between it and Egypt and a little bit about that. But I want us to keep moving because I want to finish up this portion. We've been trying to. I've got so much material. Let me just start off by looking at a key verse here. Look, you're in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Notice what it says here in verse 7, because this is where we stopped off last week. Notice what it says. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. If you were here last week, you remember that we were talking about American culture and how is it that this new genre was created, this idea of pop music. How did it come to be? And so we're looking at kind of the background of that, and we looked at some things that people that were alive at that time documented and were noticing about this era in American history. And one thing that became very apparent was at this time, there was a generation gap that was taking place. And basically, all of this means is the fact that there was one generation that did not effectively communicate to the next generation, parents to their children, where their lines should be drawn in regards to morality or you know, music or some of these things. And so because there was not good communication with that, all of a sudden you have this new generation that rises up and is focused on several different things, but one of them being a new style of music and just kind of ran with it. We see that throughout the Word of God, how when parents or one generation does not pass on, you know, Deuteronomy has a lot to say about that. You know, hey, you know, teach your kids, you know, one thing that we try to live by and, you know, have Christ at the center of our home. But, you know, in everything we do, you know, this book right here ought to be front and center. So we talk about it. We link everything to it because we've built our lives upon it and it's true. But you know, a child's not just going to walk in that stuff if they're not taught. They're not going to live right if they're not grounded and if parents are not communicating that. And so here we have the results of that. There was this generation gap that was taking place. There were some other things going on at the time. In fact, we understand that there was in the 1960s, there was also political and a social unrest. You have the Vietnam War taking place. You have the rise of nuclear weapons and the threat of communism. If you've done some of study in your history books, a lot of this would be familiar. But there were corruption. There's corruption in politics and on the national and local levels. And I wish I could say that, you know, this has gotten a whole lot better. But unfortunately, there's a lot of that still around today. Race riots were going on. There was this new attitude of questioning authority and moral absolutes. Now, I don't want to get too far into this, and really, I could preach a whole message around this idea of postmodernism. How many of you have ever heard of that term, postmodernism? Okay, all right. It's all centered around the idea of basically just call everything is up for question. Call into question everything. And if somebody looks at you and says, this is absolute truth, you need to question that. And I'm not talking about, you know, proving things. The Bible talks about proving things. But this is a skepticism. Okay, this is a, you know, that's okay for you, but that's, you know, I'm not going to believe that. You know, question the authority. Well, all of this is taking place at the exact same time that pop music is rising on the scene. So, we see there's a generation gap. We see that there was unrest. And then we see that teens took on this attitude of absolutely questioning everything. Well, all of this began to play into the music industry. Let me read to you, okay? Again, now this is their statements. And let me just sidetrack for a second and use this illustration. You know, pop music and the surrounding culture has been presented to you and me as something that is glorified. It has not been kept back from us by any means. You walk into a store, you are bombarded with it. Okay, with the things that you see and the things that you hear. You know, you listen to commercials on the radio or on TV, and you are going to get a heavy dose of pop culture and pop music. And so, you know, with that in mind, it is upplayed. It's not downplayed. You know, think of it in terms like this. You know, what if somebody, let's see, somebody tell me your favorite dish. What's your favorite meal? Give me your favorite meal. Go ahead, Andrew, what is it? Parmesan, okay, Parmesan steak, all that, great. Okay, so Longhorn steak. Yeah, I thought I could finish that. So let's just say, Andrew, that somebody came to you, okay, and they presented this Longhorn steak, okay, Parmesan on there, cooked to perfection, okay, and says, hey, Andrew, I know you love this here, I want you to have it, okay. And now to you, it looks appealing. You know, it looks very enticing. You know, your flesh likes it. It appeals to you. So it's put before you, and you take a few bites, and the person that made it comes back to you and says, hey, all right, I just want to let you know. I know you're enjoying that steak. That's good. You know, before I actually did that, I was wondering if I was going to have time, but because before I actually put this together, I was actually out in the yard, and I was spreading some fertilizer, you know, that stuff that smells really good. You know, it's got other things mixed in. I had it all over my hands, but I had enough time to run in the house, grab that steak, throw it down, rub it in some marinade, and really get it. About this time, what are you starting to think? I want a new steak. This is in my mouth. I can't believe that. You know, what would you think if the creator was looking at you and saying, hey, just want you to know, there's some problems with this. And in fact, I probably wouldn't eat it or promote it myself. What would you think? You'd be grotesque. You'd be like, whoa, I'm not doing that. Well, hey, listen, that is the same concept in regards to pop music. It does not take you long at all to start reading about some of the creators of this stuff and how they bluntly say this music affects people or how it affects the performers. Essentially what they're saying is, hey, this stuff is detrimental to you. All right, and if it, you know, wasn't for the financial profit and, you know, my livelihood, I'd probably stay away from it. But as we read some of these quotes, I think of it in that context. David Rubinson was an executive with Columbia Records. How many of you have ever heard of Columbia Records before? Anybody? Okay. They're a pretty big record company. All right, there's several large record companies that have done very well. And he was an executive for one of these at that time. Okay, so this new music's coming on the scene. Well, how did they go about selling it to the world? How did they approach it? Well, he's very honest. He says this. He says, I went to a convention of some kind in the music industry at that time, and I said, you have to understand the only people we trust right now are our friends and the people we buy drugs from. Okay, I mean, this is getting good, right? There is no one else in this country we can trust. We can't trust the government. We don't trust the police. The teachers have lied to us. Our parents didn't tell us the truth. And we only trust very few people. You've got to market this music like you're a drug dealer. You've got to get the trust of your clients, and then you can sell them anything. All right, now, this is Columbia Records. This is a guy, an executive at the very top of the industry, and he's looking down, and he's taking this approach to selling this new music that has come on the scene, okay? This is not a Christian writer, obviously. This is somebody that's telling you what's at the heart of some of these matters. So we see that the impact of rock music was very strong at this time. Now, when we say rock music or pop music, popular music, what's included in those genres, would you say? Give me some things. Give me some branches of pop or popular music. Now, if you say something, I'm not going to think, oh, they listen to this. Okay, we've been in them all. We've seen things. Okay, all right. Give me something. Give me an offshoot. Somebody give me an offshoot. I know you guys are like, we don't know. No, okay, I know. Come on now. All right, so what? Well, I'm thinking more of a musical genre, okay? So you have pop at the top, popular music, okay? All right, what branches out from there? Okay, romance. All right, yes. Rap. Okay, there's a good one. Yes, okay, that would be a category under this pop music, okay? Now, I know she doesn't listen to rap. Okay, somebody else. I saw a hand at the back. Yes, sir. Hip-hop. Yeah, how many of you have heard of hip-hop before? Okay, again, that was birthed out of the pop culture. Okay, something else. Yes. Upset? Dubstep. Okay, that would be a new one, but I'm maybe. Yes. What? Okay, all right, somebody else? All right, let me give you a list. I know you've heard of some of these, okay? What about this? Metal. How many of you heard of metal? Okay, all right, that's what? Screaming your head off, right? Punk. How many of you have heard of punk rock? Have you ever heard of that? Okay, very strange. There's that new wave, rap. You know, there's indie, goth, emo, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, classic, R&B, hip-hop, reggae, techno, and the list just goes on, okay? So when I refer to pop, this is what I'm talking about, everything under this umbrella, okay? And these, again, these are the people that are at the top that are speaking about that. So we see that there was a definite impact. A definite impact on American culture. Notice this. Somebody said this. More than the simple addition of a new musical form, the development of rock and other offshoots has both reflected and stimulated brand new behaviors, attitudes, and aspirations. So what does this speak to? This speaks to the fact that, hey, you know, those people who say music does not affect anything. It's neutral, right? Well, here are the creators saying, hey, one thing that we noticed when this music started coming to the forefront is it was affecting behaviors. And it does. It does both in those who perform it and those who, you know, go to the concerts or who listen to it. And this is the impact of rock music. The rock music became the vehicle expression for the younger generation at that time. The most significant expression of youth culture is rock. After all, rock endures not simply as a broad musical category, but as the inspiration of a way of life. Okay? An inspiration as a way of life. Now, what is that statement basically saying there? Somebody tell me. Is that, yeah, easy. Okay, yeah, it can affect every aspect of you. I had a friend in high school, and this was the first time I ever heard of the term heavy metal. Okay, I'd never heard that before. You know, I think I was in, was I 7th, 8th grade, something like that. And, you know, he was a kid that had a little bit longer hair in the youth group, and, you know, he had a certain look about him. And I started talking with him a little bit, And, you know, he started asking me what my interests were, and I started asking him, and it was very revealing some of the things that he was very interested in. You know, one of the things is that one of his passions was skateboarding. And one of the things that he loved was to crank up his music, his heavy metal, you know, and let the locks fly and go and, you know, do an ollie or whatever. You know, I mean, that was him. But, you know, the more I talked to him, the more I realized that he was positioning his life in connection with the music that he loved. It was affecting every aspect of him. You know, I don't think that there is any coincidence that this individual struggled in regards to respect for authority. You know, what is the identity of heavy metal music? Okay, besides screaming your head off. I mean, it's to push out any boundaries that are there. It's an extreme. It's to take yourself to extreme places. And what was their music notorious for? I mean, obviously being loud, their lyrics would be extreme. They speak of just, you know, unbelievable things, evils. And, you know, a lot of these people would, you know, self-identify with, you know, hey, you know, Satan worship and all of those things. And listen, here's my point. You can't listen to this stuff without it having effect on you. And it's a battle because our flesh, there are times that this kind of music, I'm not talking about just heavy metal per se, but there are times that these type of things appeal to our flesh. They do. And so we have to be very careful of that. All right, we got to keep moving here. So rock music, we see there was a definite impact that rock music was beginning to have on American culture and society at that time. Just trying to find some things here to skip over. We talk about the content of a lot of these songs. Later in 1955, Variety magazine. How many of you have heard of Variety? Variety magazine. Okay, all right, maybe not as many. Variety magazine offered an editorial called "A Warning to the Music Business." Boy, can you imagine opening a popular magazine today and seeing a headline, "A Warning to the Music Business"? I don't think that would happen today, but 1955, Variety magazine saw some things happening. Now, I can't read all of this editorial, okay? So I'm going to paraphrase it because it wouldn't be appropriate, okay? But understand this. At the core of what they're saying is this. The emphasis of this music was placed upon using words and euphemisms. Somebody tell me, what is a euphemism? What is it? Jason? Okay, all right. It suggests or points to something else, right? What they're saying, the emphasis was placed upon using words and euphemisms for several things in an attempt to break down and make people more comfortable with sensual things. That was part of the goal. Remember when I told you this music was birthed out of taking down barriers, you know, removing walls in every way. And so basically, you know, Satan used this as a tool and has in the lives of many Christians to get them comfortable with wrong, to get them a little bit more comfortable in regards to sin. Because if Satan can get us hooked on this type of music, this type of music leads to all different types of offshoots. It leads to all different types of artists. So you can say, hey, I've chosen a clean artist to follow. I've chosen someone who, hey, they've never said a bad word in one of their songs. Hey, it is great. Okay. But you know what? You are, that's dangerous ground because you have opened the door. Because I'll tell you, there's going to come a time where that person is going to put out something that's questionable. And, you know, truthfully, probably already has. You just maybe haven't found it yet. That's a dangerous position to be in. Let's notice a couple of things here before we close. Like I said, so when rock came on the scene, it was made popular because it pushed out restrictions in all areas. So we see here that American culture was changing. We see that things were progressing. And not in a good way. And what did this mean for the standards of our culture? Think about this. You know, how many of you have ever watched maybe an old black and white movie before? before. Anybody ever watched something like that before? Okay. I grew up on black and white movies. I still enjoy black and white movies as long as they're good. But, when I look back at those, how many of you realize that they had a little bit different standard back then for certain things? See that? You can watch a black and white movie, and how often do you see a guy, in a t-shirt and just shorts walking on the street? What are they wearing most of the time? What are they wearing? Suits. Yeah. I mean, that was the standard. There were high bars in every society. Now, I'm not saying that if you wear shorts and t-shirt, you're a sin and it's wrong, everything like that, okay? But I'm pointing to the fact that there were some very high standards, okay, before this music came along. Excuse me, this music. It's not in the Bible. I don't want to make that mistake. All right, there were some really high standards. But what's happening now? What's happening? Well, things are being questioned. The walls are being taken down. And it's going to have a result on society. So for culture, the dress standard started to change. The things that would be shown on TV started to change. And again, who was it that challenged to begin with the things that would be shown on TV? What industry was it? Mm-hmm. It was the music industry. Okay? So it's consistent with what we've been talking about. Now, at the same time, and this points back to the verse that we read earlier out of Deuteronomy chapter 32, but the older generation was in decline at this point. I want to read to you just a little phrase from a book that a guy named by the name of Dwight MacDonald wrote in 1958. And he basically said this. He said, rather suddenly, adults began orbiting around their children rather than the other way around. Remember how we talked about last week how the traditional raising your children was, hey, as they get older, they enter their teen years, they're young adults, and we train them as they're growing. To teach them to grow into adulthood. And then all of a sudden, everything flipped. And it was, hey, you're a teenager, okay? And whatever you want, the industries reacted to. All of a sudden, there was a market for the teenager. And, hey, we're going to cater to the teenager. Well, parents at this time, instead of saying, hey, there are some things that you are not going to do. There are some places you're not going to go. There's some things that you're not going to listen to. A lot of parents, now some did, that's why we have good Christian families today. But there were some that said, a large majority said, I'm not going to draw the line. In fact, I'm going to give you what you want. And that, of course, accentuated the issue that rock music was bringing at the time. And what is the average parent's attitude about their kids, after this generation? Well, they took on an attitude that says something like this. Because of my own rebellion in the 50s and 60s, and because of the way I grew out of it, I can better accept my son's desire for independence and crazy and sometimes rebellious things that he does. Based on my own experience, he too will grow out of it. You know what that's basically saying? That's an excuse right there. That's what that is. And that's the exact same thing that Aaron did. Remember? Moses comes down. Aaron's there and says, hey, it was the people's fault. You know that they are bent on mischief. Well, that's the same thing that these parents of a later generation are saying. Hey, they're just kids, all right? They're going to grow out of it. Dangerous positioning, dangerous indeed. Music is always the expression of a culture, whatever that culture may believe. And rock, there's no doubt, was affecting the very morals of our nation. Now, next week, we're going to talk about how rock music started to impact the church. And that's a very interesting topic. But stay with me on this study. As we look at this, sometimes it's difficult because, there are times that the Word of God and biblical principles step on our toes and it's uncomfortable. But the fact is, if we open our hearts to the Lord, and as we talked about in our first lesson, offer our beliefs, offer where we've drawn our lines up to the Lord, asking Him to give direction and light, He most certainly will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for music. Father, it's a wonderful thing. It's a blessing, Lord. And Lord, just like anything else in our lives, Father, there are biblical principles that are laid out, Lord, that allow us to know that we're choosing right music. Lord, or allow us to know when something is harmful or destructive to us. Lord, I pray that there'd be none of us that would, turn our ears off, Lord, to some of the things that we're looking at, but Father, that we would remain open, Lord, to what you have for us. Lord, we ask that you'd speak to our hearts in the morning service. We love you, and again, we're thankful that we can gather here together today. In your name we pray, amen.